The Psalm 89, I draw your attention to the verses 14 through to 18. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people, verse 15, that know the joyful sound. I want to speak to you tonight about the blessed people and the joyful sound that blesses them. The blessed people. Because you see in the text there is a people who are blessed. This isn't all the world. This isn't every human being that lives and exists. No, this is a special people. There's a blessed people in the text. And this people can only be God's people. It's God's people that's in the verse. God has a people, you see. He has a people for himself. And God is their Lord and their King. And because God is their Lord and their King, they're a blessed people. In the Old Testament, they were mainly made up of Jews. But in the New Testament, as well as the Jewish remnant who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Gentiles have been brought in as well among God's people. And so today in the church, there are Jews and Gentiles, and because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they are God's people, this people. Remember how Peter said to the believers, he said, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." You're his people. You hadn't obtained mercy in time past. In time past, you were not a people. But now, he says, you are the people of God. And that's the people in our text. A blessed people. You remember God said unto Balaam, that false prophet, he wanted to curse God's people. He wanted to put a curse upon them. And God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt not curse the people." You can't curse the people, for they're blessed. They're blessed. They're my people, and they're blessed. You remember how the psalmist said, "Thy blessing is upon thy people." And that's the people that we're considering tonight in our text. Blessed are the people who have heard the joyful sound. Now, there are three things I want to consider as the Lord of this blessed people enables me. First of all, I want to consider why they are blessed, the source of this blessing. And then secondly, I want to consider how it is that they are blessed. And that's the channel of the blessing that comes to them. And then thirdly, I want to consider what they are blessed with. What's the fruit of the blessing that they enjoy in their lives? Those are our three points then. You see, God's blessing is like a great river. And we have to see where it comes from. And then we have to see how it flows. And then we have to consider what it brings to his redeemed people. And that's the way we're taking it tonight. Why are they blessed then, first of all? Well, the text brings out the source of the blessing. Because you see where it comes from. What does it say in verse 14? It says there, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." You will see that it comes right from God's throne. The text begins with a throne. "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." That means there's a king. If there's a throne, there's a king.
And this people have a king. And it's this king who is the source of their blessing and blessedness. And they're blessed because of the king. That king is the source of the blessing. So verse 14 is not to be divorced from verse 15. They're blessed because of the king. And that king is the Lord their God. The text begins with the king on his throne, but it also ends with a king, because it says there in verse 18 at the end, the Holy One of Israel is our king. And so the text that we are considering, it begins with the throne and it ends with the king. It starts with the king on the throne, and it tells us that that king is the Holy One of Israel. This people are blessed because their king is God, and he's on the throne. Every people should have a king. Every people should have a head. And God's people have the best king of all. God's people have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that's why they are blessed. He is the source of the blessing. Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. That's what the Bible says. That's why they're blessed, because their God is Jehovah. This king is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because the church confesses no king but Christ, he is the head of this people. He is our head. He is our king. The text talks about the face and the countenance of this king. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. This king has a face. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, in the light of thy face. They are blessed because there is a face. They are blessed because there is a countenance, and that countenance and face is the face of their King, Jesus Christ. We are blessed because Jesus Christ is our Savior King. That we are blessed because the face of God is towards us. And the face of God is in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this face is beautiful and glorious and gracious. Remember how Paul said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a blessing because of the face of the King. There's no blessed people without the face of the King. And that face is the face of Jesus Christ. His face is towards us. It's his face that is in the text. You remember how he appeared to his disciples and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. There's no blessing without the face of Jesus Christ, our King upon his throne. And from infancy, our children in Christian homes, the prayer is offered that this face be upon them. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That's a prayer that Christ would shine in their lives and hearts. That the face of the Lord Jesus would shine upon them and they'd be saved. We pray that when we bring them to the Lord in infancy. There's no blessing without Christ. There's no blessing without his lovely face and without his kingship. Remember how John saw in heaven a river, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. And that river brings the blessing of God to all his people. And where does it flow from? It proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's where it comes from. And that's the throne that's mentioned in our text in verse 14. And that's why there'll be no more curse because of this throne and the blessing that flows from it. They shall see his face, the Bible says. And there'll be no more curse. And his name shall be in their foreheads. It's this face, the face of the King in the text, the face of Jesus Christ. We read concerning this King who blesses us and is the source of all blessing to us. We read concerning him that he is holy and just, because judgment and justice are the habitation of his throne. And he's the Holy One of Israel who is our King, verse 18. He's fearfully holy and just. Even the devils know this. They believe this and tremble. You remember how the devils appeared? They were inside a man, possessing a man. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus encountered that demoniac? And the devil said, "Let us alone. We know you who you are, the Holy One of Israel." Well, this is him in the text. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Justice and judgment is the habitation of his throne. Verse 14 then is a most interesting verse. Justice as in judgment inhabit his throne. All that he does is righteous. He's a righteous King. The sense is that his throne is founded in justice and in the exercise of judgment. A throne that only does right. And that's so fundamental. Earthly thrones are propped up by pillars. Solomon had a beautiful throne. It was propped up by lions at every step. But the habitation of God's throne, its pillars are justice, true justice, and fearful judgment. It's a holy throne. But it is not what holds up that throne that I draw your attention to tonight. It's what comes out of that throne. It's what flows from before his face, because it says there in verse 14, "Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." And that's why his people are blessed, because there comes out from the throne these glories of his reign, his mercy and his truth. They're going out before his face. Mercy and truth. And that's why this people are blessed. Because of mercy and truth. Because of God's compassion. Because of God's loving kindness. Because of God's grace. And because of his faithfulness, his word, his promise, and his truth to his people. That's why they're blessed. This very psalm is about God's mercies. Verse 1, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Mercy and truth, mercy and faithfulness coming from the throne. And these outgoing things coming from his presence. That's why there's a blessed people. Why does he have a blessed people? Because of his mercy and because of his word of promise, his truth and his faithfulness. This is the source of this blessing. Because God has mercy and grace for us sinners. It's mercy that brings us pardon and provides the forgiveness of sins. It's mercy that is the fountain of the great redemptive work in Jesus Christ. It's mercy that gets a people. It's mercy that saves a people and redeems a people and keeps that people. And his truth is his promise, his gospel and his word that comforts them, that wins them, that persuades them and convinces them and draws them to be his people. That's the source of our blessing. Mercy and the promise, grace and the gospel, compassion and God's faithfulness. Mercy that redeems and gets a people, and the truth that reveals Jesus Christ to them. This is how we're saved. This is why we ever come to be saved. Because God didn't leave us in our sins.
there went out before his face mercy. Mercy for you, sinner, and truth to comfort you with the gospel. The law was given by Moses, but grace, mercy, and truth came by the face of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And this gospel, mercy, and truth goes out into all the earth, and it gathers from the four corners of the wind the elect people of God and makes them a blessed people. That's the source of this blessing. But having seen the source of the blessing in God's people, let us come to how they are blessed. They're blessed in a way of knowing. Because it says there in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound. That's the means by which they come into the blessing. It flows from the throne of God. It comes in the fullness of time in Jesus Christ. But how do they come to enjoy it? How do they come to experience the blessing? When they come to know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. That's the means by which they are blessed. Mercy and truth brings the joyful sound to them. This people are not blessed until they know the joyful sound. There's no blessing without the joyful sound. That's how you become a child of God, when you hear the joyful sound, when you know the joyful sound. That marks God's people. What is the psalmist drawing attention to when he talks about the joyful sound? At the Jewish festivals, they were joyful Jewish festivals. There were very many of them, of course. But at most of them, there were trumpets blown to announce the festival and the festivities and the happy events that were to take place. A joyful sound of the silver trumpet, the trumpets of redemption. Especially at the Jubilee, the redemption from slavery and bondage. Oh, the people loved to hear the sound of the Jubilee trumpet. Because the poor people, they sold all their goods, all their homes, to make money so that they could live and survive. And sometimes they even sold themselves into slavery. They were in debt. They were poor. And to live, they sold themselves and they became the slaves of others who would feed them and look after them. And thus they had to abide in debt to their masters and the loss of all their goods. Until the 50th year came. And at the 50th year, a trumpet was blown. It was a trumpet of Jubilee. And when it was blown, everything was restored to them. Everything that they sold, if it was their houses, if it was their goods, it all had to be given back to them. If they sold themselves as slaves, their masters had to let them go. And they were free, and everything was restored. And it was a time of joy and gladness. It was a joyful sound. It was a sound that those in debt waited for. It was a sound that those who were poor and paupers and had nothing, and who were perishing in their poverty, and who were in bondage and slavery, it was a sound that they longed for. And when it blew, it was a joyful sound. And they went out free. All was restored to the debtors. And you know, whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross, he restored that which he took not away. He paid the debt for his people. He redeemed them by his blood, and he set them free, the poor sinners, the poor debtors to God's law, those who had no hope, those who had just despair, those who looked forward to nothing but perishing in their sin and in their misery and going to hell. Jesus Christ restored it all that they lost in Adam. Restored far more besides.
What does the hymn writer say? He displays his healing power. Death and the curse are known no more. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. And that's what it means here. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They get back more than they ever lost in Jesus Christ. All that Adam took away from us, all that we lost in Adam, we have restored and more besides. Because Adam was just a servant who had to keep the law and who was maintaining his righteousness before God in the law. But we're made sons in Jesus Christ, not servants. We're made the children of God in Jesus Christ. We're made his people. And our hope is not an earthly hope merely in the Garden of Eden, but a heavenly hope, a heavenly inheritance in Jesus Christ. We have more in Christ restored to us than our father Adam ever lost. And this is why what this text means. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. The joyful sound is Christ crucified for us sinners. The joyful sound is that he is risen and alive forevermore, able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Paul says we preach Christ crucified. That's the joyful sound. There's a Savior for sinners. The joyful sound of the gospel. What notes does this sound possess? The note that tells us we're all sinners and needs Christ. That's the note in this sound. The note that says there is a Savior for you, sinner. That's the note in this sound. The note that says he has wrought the great work of salvation in his sacrifice on the cross by the shedding of his blood. The note that we all may come, we're all invited to come to Jesus Christ. That's a sound in this joyful note. A note in this joyful sound. That we may come freely, that we're all welcome to come to Jesus Christ. The note of truth and promise. If we come and believe, we'll be saved. If we come, he won't cast us out. That's a note in this joyful sound. It's a sweet sound. It's a wonderful, winning sound to poor sinners. Come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. A new heart will I give you. I'll take away your sins. I'll cast them behind my back. It's a sound that breaks down the sinner when he truly hears it. It's a sound that melts the sinner. It's a sound that wins the sinner and makes him to be among the people of God. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Notice they're blessed by knowing the joyful sound. Not blessed by merely hearing it. You're hearing it tonight. That doesn't make you blessed that you just hear it. Do you know it? Multitudes have heard it. It's in their Bibles. Multitudes have it. Multitudes hear it in the churches every week, but you're only blessed in knowing it. Knowing it. Knowing it as the joyful sound. You see, a knowledge of Christ is essential. You have to know him. The Lord Jesus, speaking about the sound of his voice, says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Others come along and they have a voice, but the sheep don't recognize their voice and they don't follow them. My sheep hear my voice. They know the joyful sound. They know the shepherd's voice. And in knowing the joyful sound, they know the Saviour. And they have a relationship with Christ in his gospel. In other words, they've come. Or they've believed, or they've received Christ. Or they've trusted him, they've tasted him, they've tasted and seen that he is good. They know. They have conviction and faith and a relationship and an acquaintance. They know. And therefore they're blessed in knowing him, in knowing the Savior, in knowing the gospel. That's why they're blessed. So we've seen the source, the mercy and the truth of God coming from his everlasting throne. We see how they come into experience this blessing in a way of knowing the joyful sound, hearing it, believing it, responding to it in true faith in Jesus Christ. Let us see what they are blessed with. What do they enjoy in Christ? What are the blessings that make them a blessed people? Blessed. Blessed, but blessed with what? And the text tells us. There are seven blessings that are described in verses 15 through to 18. Seven blessings. Seven phrases follow. And everyone describes what God's people enjoy, what they experience, why they're blessed. Seven is a number of perfection, for truly they have a perfect blessing and a fullness of blessing in Jesus Christ, and it's here all described. You know, it's wonderful to be among God's people. This is why. Because of these seven things. Maybe you're saying tonight, is it worthwhile for me to be a Christian? Is there anything to gain in being a child of God? Is there anything to gain in becoming a Christian? Sinners think that they will lose. Whenever they think about coming to Christ, they think they have to give up this and give up that and give up the other, and they lose so much. But let me tell you about what you'll gain. The blessings that you will obtain in Jesus Christ when you become among his people. And they're described, verse 15. The first one is, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They're blessed. They have a walk now. They used to walk in darkness. They used to walk in the ways of the world. They used to walk on the broad road that was just leading to destruction. But now they're walking differently. They have a new walk now. They're walking in the Lord. They're walking in the light of his face. They're walking in the light of his countenance. They're near to his presence and they're near to his grace. And his face is shining towards them, and they're walking in the countenance of his face. They have fellowship with him, with the King. We were sometimes darkness, Paul said. Ah, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. That's what he said. He's thinking of this verse. You're so blessed. You're not in the darkness anymore. You're the children of the Lord now. You're in the light of his countenance now. Oh, walk. Walk before his face. Enjoy him. Enjoy fellowship with him. Look at his countenance every day. Walk in the light of his word. Hear his voice all the time. And just walk with him. Oh, it's blessed to walk with God. There's no blessedness like walking with the Lord. That's the joy of the Christian. He has fellowship. And he's walking with God. The second one is, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Not only do they have a walk, they have joy and gladness. As well as walking, they are rejoicing. You know, the unconverted are really miserable. The Christless are miserable. But the child of God ought not to be. They are a blessed people. And because they know the Lord and they know his name, it says, in thy name they rejoice all the day. They're glad. They're glad they're saved. They're glad they're on the way to glory. They're glad they have Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're rejoicing. What are they rejoicing in? Because they're busy in the church? Are they rejoicing because they're doing this and that and the other? Are they rejoicing because they feel useful? No. Some of them are confined to beds and wheelchairs. Can't do anything for the Lord. Some of them are old and shut in, but they're rejoicing in His name. Oh, if you have His name, you can rejoice in Him. If you have Christ, He is an infinite ocean to rejoice in. They're glad in the Lord, in their Savior, in the new discoveries of His person, and considering all His work, His cross work, and His promises. They're just rejoicing in the Lord. All the day, it says. All the time. You remember how Mary said, "Ah, my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior." And Paul says to the people of God, rejoice in the Lord. That's a blessing. To be able to rejoice in Him. You know, there's many times we get cast down and we get disappointed with the people of God sometimes and disappointed with ourselves, and we just have to go aside and we just have to get aside with the Lord and get our joy back by just fellowshipping with Him and rejoicing with our sweet Christ, our sweet Jesus, and tasting afresh His grace, His loveliness, and seeing afresh His face. And then the joy comes back again. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord? They rejoice in His name all the day. And then in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. This is their blessing as well. They're an exalted people. They've been lifted up. And we have been lifted up. The Bible says we've been lifted up into the heavenlies. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We've been exalted into the right, into the very presence of God. We can pray and bow our heads at any time and come into the presence of our God. We're exalted. The door is open into glory and we can come to the very throne room. We're a blessed people who have access into the heavens itself. They're exalted. And why are they exalted? Because of their righteousness? No, in thy righteousness they are exalted. In the righteousness of Christ. We're lifted up to the heavenlies because of the righteousness of Christ. We're lifted up to pray and have access because of Christ's righteousness. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so it's not our righteousness that lifts us up. No, you can't come into God's presence in the heavenlies because of your own righteousness. You're just a sinner. Ah, but the righteousness of Christ. We can come in that. And that lifts us up. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed with all heavenly blessings. And we're blessed to be, Paul says, in the heavenly places with Christ. The whole epistle of Ephesians is the exposition of this text. And then we're told fourthly that thou art the glory of their strength. You see how everything's about the Lord? His name. His righteousness. And here it is. The Lord is the glory of their strength. We're blessed because we have strength. It's not our own strength, brethren and sisters. Strength in the Lord. He alone is the glory of it all. What did the psalmist say? The Lord is my strength. The Lord's my strength. Blessed are the people. The Lord is the glory of their strength. He makes them strong. He makes them strong to resist the devil. He makes them strong to persevere on in the faith. He makes them strong to overcome and to battle the Christian warfare. He makes them strong to persevere to the end, to the very last breath, until they say on their dying bed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It's the Lord's strength that makes them strong to persevere. They're blessed. My grace is sufficient for thee, the Lord Jesus says. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He is the glory of our strength. Remember how Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Child of God, you're blessed. This is what you have in Christ. The strength of Christ. The strength of His Spirit. This is your blessing. And this is what the unconverted are missing and don't have. And then the fifth one is, in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. And they have God's favor in thy favor. The horn is the beauty and the power and the glory of the beast. You know how people will kill the beast just to get their horn? It's their beauty, it's their value, it's their worth, it's their power. It's the ornament of their glory. And because of the favor of Jesus Christ, we have a horn that shall be exalted. Christ will beautify us and glorify us. He will make us like Himself to have beauty and power and glory. The horn speaks of the oil of the Spirit, because the oil would have been contained in a horn full of oil. Because of the favor of Jesus Christ, our horn is filled. The Holy Spirit given unto us to teach us, instruct us, to make us like Christ. And as we look into the Word, we're made more Christ-like and we're changed from glory to glory and we become beautiful. And one day we'll see Him and we'll be like Him and we'll be altogether lovely and beautiful, and then our horn shall be exalted. This is your blessing, child of God. This is what you have in Jesus Christ. And then sixth, the Lord is our defense. We have His protection. He protects His people. He is Himself their shield. He doesn't just send angels to surround them. He comes Himself and says, I am your shield. I myself will be a wall of fire around about you. He who attacks you attacks me. He who maligns you and assaults you and resists you resists me, because He is bound up with us, His people, and He is our defense. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They're a blessed people. And then last, but by no means the least, the highest peak itself, the very last and highest step, the peak, the Holy One of Israel, is our King. He's our King. He's my King. He's your King. Jesus Christ. This is the crown of all. This is the top of the ladder. Our King. We who were such poor, needy sinners, unclean, and yet the Holy One of Israel is our King. This is the blessing of the people of God. This is the blessing of the saints. And so, do you see, it's true. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Do you see that it's true? They're blessed. Oh, poor sinner. Poor, poor sinner. As we all are. Will you not hearken to the gospel? Will you not ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear the joyful sound? Yes, you hear the sound. You hear the notes, you hear the preaching, you hear the word of the gospel. But do you hear the joyfulness of it.
Not just the words and phrases, not just the propositions and the statements, but the joyfulness of it, the reality of the message. Pray the Holy Spirit to make it like music to you. Or is it just a racket? Is this sermon just a racket to you? It needs to become music to you, a poor sinner. And when you know you are a poor, perishing sinner, and you hear that jubilee trumpet, it will be music to your soul. Do you know the joyful sound? Come to Christ. Don't miss out on the blessing. Don't lose all of these things that the people of God enjoy in Jesus Christ. Don't be a cursed race in your Christ rejection, but be a blessed people in your embracing of Jesus Christ the King. And He will bless you. I tell you, He will bless you if you believe on Him. Let us pray.